In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Earlier this spring, Hillary posted a picture of a pair of the church's early daffodils blooming outside in the garden. She worried that a snowstorm was coming and that maybe these earliest of blooms would not survive the weather. I helpfully suggested something that my grandmother had taught me. Go out with garden shears, cut the blossoms, bring them inside, and put them into a pretty vase. Enjoy them while you can. Hillary, however, made a plaintive reply. She said, "But I want them to live." I had not at the time focused on the fact that I had actually suggested killing a flower. But Hillary was right, because once a flower is cut, it begins to die. Historically, some Christians have read today's gospel passage as a threat, used to create belief out of fear. If you don't believe in Jesus, you are going to be cut, tossed away, gathered, thrown into fire, and burned. Well, hellfire and damnation may be one interpretation of the gospel message, but I personally think it really misses John's and Jesus's main point. Jesus, you see, wants us to live, and to live abundantly. Over and over again, John equates Jesus with life. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the true bread that came down from heaven. I am the bread of life." You will notice that Jesus is not focusing on punishment. Jesus is focusing on nourishment, abundance, and care. He is also illuminating his connection to God. In John, Jesus repeatedly uses "I am" for himself, and he completes this statement with various metaphors. Each time Jesus says "I am," we are reminded of God's response when Moses asks God God's name. God says, "I am that I am." God is the great I am. The theologian Paul Tillich, one of my favorites, described God as the ground of being itself. That is to say that God is the source of all beingness, the source of life. I am. Rooted into that ground of being is Jesus, the true vine, and we are the branches. Ultimately, we are all connected to God through Christ. This is a relationship of mutual indwelling. We abide in Jesus as he abides in us. We are connected through Jesus into an organic whole. Now, maybe you've heard this metaphor of the vine so many times that it doesn't shock you anymore. But let it sink in for a minute. Where does the branch leave off and the vine begin? We look separate from each other. And we look separate from Jesus. But this is nothing more than a persistent illusion. The reality is that we are connected. Now, you might think that this is just some poetic license on the part of the gospel writer. But over and over again, scientists are learning that things we thought were not connected actually are. One German biologist's research is showing that forests are not simply a collection of independent trees competing with each other for nutrients and light. Darwin may have taught us about the survival of the fittest and competing for environmental niches. Darwin's ideas colored the way that we thought about forests for years. But now we are realizing and learning that forest trees actually live in cooperative, interdependent relationships. They communicate with each other through underground fungal networks. They share information about drought and disease and insects attacking them. And when young trees cannot get enough light to photosynthesize and make their own energy, larger trees around them pump sugar into their roots so that they can survive. We can't see any of it with our eyes, but the reality is that those trees are connected. Similarly, physicists who study the teeny tiniest particles of matter have discovered unexpected connections there also. You see, these little bitty subatomic particles can get entangled with each other. This means that if you make a change to one particle, the other particle will change instantaneously. And it doesn't matter where they are. Those particles can be separated by enormous distances, maybe even a whole galaxy. And we don't know how this happens. We cannot perceive that they are connected, but it is true nonetheless. Jesus is telling us that this is the same as how we relate to Him and God. We are connected. We are entangled like the branches of a grapevine. Jesus invites us today to abide in Him as He abides in us. It is this abiding, this living, this remaining in Christ that enables us to bear fruit in the world. If we aren't producing fruit, it's because something in us has gotten separated from Jesus and has died. God's pruning is not a punishment. It's what God does to keep the branches healthy and producing good fruit. Pruning cuts back the dead wood to the fresh, green, living tissue so that new growth can happen. God's attentive pruning makes things better. When we abide in Jesus, we abide in His love. His love is what creates fruit in us. And it forms the basis for our discipleship. The fruit that we produce is our love for one another and for the world. This is Jesus' great commandment for us in John, that we love one another as He loved us. In an earlier chapter of John than today's, Jesus declared for us, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Now, sadly, this is not always the case. Sometimes religious people are known not for our love, but for our judgmentalism. In some circles, religion has developed a social reputation as something that causes strife, division, and problems. This is what happens when the branch confuses itself with the vine grower. It isn't our job as branches to judge which other branches need to be removed or how they should be pruned. That's the job of the vine grower. That's the purview of God. It's our job as branches and disciples to stay as close to Jesus as we can, so that the radical abundance of his love can be made known to the world through us, spilling over and uncontainable. Recently, a friend sent me this wonderful poem by Tony Hoagland called A Color of Sky, and it captures this feeling. The last stanzas of the poem read like this. Outside the youth center, between the corner store and the police station, a little dogwood tree is losing its mind, overflowing with blossom foam like a sudsy mug of beer, like a bride ripping off her clothes, dropping snowy white petals to the ground in clouds. So nature's wastefulness seems quietly obscene. It's been doing that all week, making beauty and throwing it away and making more. Imagine what we could do in the world if, as intimately connected disciples of Christ, we were overflowing with his love, dropping petals to the ground in clouds, making fruit in abundance, and giving it away, and making more. Imagine what happens with a love like that. God's joy might be made manifest in us, and our joy might be complete. Amen.
Amen.